We know that all the mitzvahs correspond to different organs in the body. Each mitzvah has its specific aver. Sometimes it's quite easy to see, sometimes a little more difficult. But be it as it may, the mitzvah and the aver obviously tell us something about each other. The only mitzvah that is given to us for hearing is Kol Shofar. If we think about other mitzvahs that we have to listen to, the truth is they're all mitzvahs of Kriya. So let's take a Rabbanan like Megillah. So Megillah is the mitzvahs to lane Megillah, but there is a concept of Shomer Koneh, which tells us that anyone listening is as if he's doing it. And so on. Everything that we can be moitzi somebody else with Shomer Koneh, the mitzvah is really the Kriya, and this is an act of sort of the Shmiya becomes a way of Kriya. It's Shefer, it's Machlok Zishone, but the vast majority and the Halacha is Paskin, we make Lishmoa, and we call Shofar, and the mitzvah is Shmiya. So the only mitzvah of Shmiya is the mitzvah of Shefer, and obviously something about the content of the mitzvah and the unique some of the unique attributes of Shmiya are going to teach us one about the other. I'd like to look into another Nekuda and then come back to this again. We think of Avodas Hashem as being something that we have to start first and foremost with the Avodas Hashem. Do what we're supposed to do, learn what we're supposed to learn, think what we're supposed to think, etc., etc. I want to read two paragraphs from two different people and speak about it a bit. The first one is written by Rav Volba, and it is in his Hakdama Talei Shur. It's in the Mevo Hashar of the very beginning. He starts off in the streets of Athens. A person is strolling, stopping every citizen that he meets and asks him the same question. What is the life one ought to lead? He asked this in his entire life, anyone that he ever came into contact with. The name of that person was Socrates, who was the great one amongst the nations of the world. A different person, Adam Achavt Kufacheres, also in Athens, walked in middle of the day holding a big torch. And someone asks him, what are you holding this torch for in the middle of the day? And he said, I am looking for an Adam, for a man. And he went to look for the man. This was also one of the great thinkers of Athens. However, in Yerushalayim, they no longer needed to ask the question. They had answers and so on. That's the beginning of it. Many years ago, somebody who is a very fine young man made some remark along the lines of, yeah, you know, Rav Volba was a Baal Tshuva, you know, he studied in university and in gymnasium and so on. And yeah, so, you know, I mean, these are things that sort of bothered him and so on. But we, Baruch Hashem, we know, we have, and we don't need. And it's, you know, it's sort of almost as if this is taking us a step backward instead of a step forward. That was a comment the person made. I want to read from somebody a little bit earlier who has a Sefer Emunah called the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is Sefer Emunah Bitochen. He later focuses more on Bitochen and etc., but he starts off with a sweeping overview of Emunah. So how would we write a Sefer Emunah? We would start with a ringing declaration of Ani Mamin, and this is so obvious and so firm and so, you know, these truths are self-evident, v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. We would start with a very, very strong ringing proclamation. That's not how the Chazon Ish goes. Arish says, if a person is a Baal Nefesh and it's a quiet moment and the person's physical cravings and desires have quieted down, his eye begins to look around him and is stunned by the depths of by the heights of the heavens and depths of the earth. Who nirgash v'nidham, is overwhelmed. The world appears as an unsolvable riddle. A hidden and wonderful at the same time. And this riddle, this puzzle, it envelops his heart and mind. And he's overwhelmed. He's breathless. All he's interested in is trying to puzzle out this riddle. And to understand its meaning, his neshama goes out. And he'd go through fire and water to work out this puzzle. Kimalul chayim. What exactly is life worth? If this so-called pleasant life, its meaning is beholden from him. And his mind and his nefesh spins around and is craves to understand the secret of all of this. And he goes on in the same vein. So we have two descriptions over here of a person seeking and searching. And I would like to bring out the following point, the common point of the two. When a person has something, he needs to have a bag to put it into. Now, if a person has no bag, the person can't hold on to much. If we have a full glass, a full barrel, and we put something on top, it can float on top. But it's very hard to call that in the barrel, and it's very hard to feel that we have it. A person's nefesh, when it feels that it does not need information, when nothing is bothering it, is full. And nothing will go into it and become part of it, unless the person has a kli kibul for it. The kli kibul of the nefesh is a shaila, is a nagging question. And if a person does not have the shaila, then the person has no place to put anything. If a person does not start with the question, what is good, then good is meaningless to him. Yeah, you can sort of add it on to the pile of et cetera, the stuff that you did, you know, the room that you keep all the stuff that just doesn't have a purpose. But to have a real fundamental understanding of it, to have it fully integrate in your person and become part of you, the first point is a question. And without the question, it does not mean anything to you. So the Chazon Ish starts emunah, not with the ringing decorations, but with the sense of missing something, with the sense of how much we don't understand, how much we don't grasp, and the emptiness, that void, is the void with which he fills up with emunah. Rav Volba starts his sefer with the looking and the search, the shaila, and only on the background of the shaila do we have some sort of place where to put a tshuva that's meaningful to us. Of all of there are three words in Lashon Kodesh that have the same root and mean this. The word koil means everything. The word kiloyin means total. It means a total desolation. When something is a totally destroyed, that's kiloyin from the word kol. And when something is totally empty, it begs of itself to fulfill itself. That's called kolsa. Nichsefa v'gam kolsa nafshi. The Malbim says pretty much this point. Nichsefa means to desire something, to crave something. Kolsa means my life is empty and not worth living unless I have what I need, unless whatever it is that I'm waiting for. So the kol and the kiloyan and the kolsa that comes out of that is this point over here. And therefore, every time I want something, I first must make a place for it. The Kabbalah, the Arizal says that the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, the first creation was a place for the world. And then the world's existence comes into being. Of our Evarim that are there, our senses that grasp the world around us, they're all flat. So the eyes, the hands, the tongue, even the nose, the shape of the nose is just for the breathing, and the cells that smell are kind of just flat, and therefore that's the way it's set up. It's also set up that when we see something, the minute before we saw it, we didn't see it, we didn't know it. As soon as we see it, we know it. The knowledge of it, the understanding, we smell an odor. When it comes to us, that's exactly when we have it. Hearing is radically different. The primary function of hearing is not the direct sound. So obviously when I hear footsteps, that's sort of like seeing. But the real purpose of hearing is when we have information that we didn't know ourselves. And then the way in which we attain is v'darashta v'chakarta v'sha'alta heitev. We went seeking the information. Unless we search for the information, it doesn't come to us. It's not what we perceive. It's what comes to us. And therefore, the question always comes before the information. Obviously, somebody can come and tell us, but the Darash HaKash Alta Heitev is most specific to hearing, because it's searching out information that I don't know myself. Whereas seeing and smelling and tasting are personal experiences, hearing testimony is something that comes from somebody else, and therefore it's something that I incorporate, I ask first, and then it comes to me. So listening is radically different than the other senses. Our ear is cup-shaped. In other words, it has a hollow in it, and it's waiting to be filled with information. Chazal say that if we don't want to listen, what we do is fill our ears. We put our fingers into our ears and we don't hear, because as soon as that space is taken up, then the other stuff doesn't come in. If I'm interested in A, and I fill my ears with A, B is not going to come in. And therefore, the process of listening is unique, because it's something that is it requires creating a deficiency, having deficiency, and being able to and being able to take in. Even though it sounds like hearing starts with a deficiency, but really what we can accomplish with hearing is beyond what we can accomplish with seeing and everything else. Because whenever I can live only on the information that I have, it's limited. and therefore seeing whatever I could see in a lifetime. That's it. Hearing is really infinite because I can make use of all the testimony of everyone in the world. It just depends how big of a hole have I opened up. How much have I, requested? So really requesting and asking, if I'm missing information, then it comes in via the ear. So the koyach of oizen is something which has in itself the ability to take in, it creates a space of information that I'm missing, and now has the ability to fill it. And as big as I make that space, that's how much it gets filled. So if I want or need only information X, that's all I'll get. And the more I want, the more I'll get. That's the koach ha'ozen in the person, and specifically for that. This is true not only about physical things, obviously. It's true about ruchnisika things. It's true about learning. But it's true about ruchnis and chayelam haba. The Reb Shimon Yochai, in his final teachings, it's called Idris Zuta, and it describes on the day of his Patira how he's giving over every last bit of what he needed to give over. As he finishes, he mentions the pasuk, "Kisham tziva Hashem es abrocha chayim ad olam," and it says he said the word chayim, and then he was nifta, didn't continue. And the a baskel came out, "Chayim shalom imcha nasatali," pasuk tilim. He asked for chayim, and you gave it to him. The chayim that we're referring to over there is chaya alma. So when you're learning it, you seem to put the hadagish on the nesatale. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him chayim nitzchiyim, its fullest sense of the word, and so on. I think the hadgasha is on the first part of the pasuk. How much ruchnius does a person have? How much ruchnius is a person capable of attaining? The answer is as much as he needs, in as much as his kli kibble. If we ask ourselves, how much can HaKadosh Baruch Hu give? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give b'li seif, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot give us more than what we have a kli kibble for. If I have an endless supply of water, and a person comes with a gallon jug, I give him a gallon. If he comes with 10 gallon jug, I give him 10 gallons. I cannot give a person more than he has a kli kibble. The Pischul Pesach Shol Machat is that we open up something. If we don't open up something, it lands and goes off. It's like when something rains on a closed surface, nothing stays. It all just runs down and it's out. So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's whole life was a quest for Chai Alma, and therefore he achieved it at the peak of it when he had opened up. When his entire mohus, when his entire essence opened up to it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him chayim. The hadgasha is chayim sholomcha, that he requested life, he quested life, and therefore he got it. So we see that the most fundamental aspect of Avodas Hashem is not what we've done or what we know, or anything like that. It's first and foremost how much of a hole have we opened up in ourselves to that needs to be filled. Whatever we did remains meisim. It's when we open up in our nefesh a hole that craves to be filled, that's when we can have it. So if a person's not piqued by the mystery of the world, if a person does not, if his mind is not obsessed with what he doesn't know, then he's not going to know. The Chazanish is his boininus of what is it? What is the world? What's behind it on every level? That allows Emunah to come in. We make such a mistake. We think the problems of our door, whether it's Emunah, Avoda, this, that, or whatever it may be, so we should need to pile on more Emunah, more proofs, more Nyanim. I don't think that's where the problem is. The problem is we don't really care that much, so then it's a game of arguments and proofs or chulu b'chulu. If a person's nafshistic profile would fit the chazanishes, where the person is searching for meaning in life because he's overwhelmed, how could Avraham Avinu's first declaration of Emunah was em klum yesh bir b'lomanik? It wasn't an affirmation. It was the question. Impossible that it is the way it's perceived. There's more to it. When the person has that question, then then he has where the answer should be chal. If not, it's words. It's bad. You can bat words back and forth. I didn't answer the person who commented on our Volba's Ali Shur. But the truth is, if a person hasn't asked the question, what is the good life to lead? Then, yes, he might know a lot of halachas. He might believe it to be right, and that's wonderful. But he does not know what's the good life to lead. Unless a person's bothered by it, at imkin ishmasai, unless a person is searching for the good, then he has a lot of nice ideas, but that's it. And unless a person is looking around to find what is Adam, who is Adam, he'll never find him. He'll be under his nose and won't find him because he's not looking for it. So something that we don't see is it's, if we're not searching for it, we're not going to find it. It's something that it says it's Tzion Derish Ein La Michal Deboy Drisha. The Beis Hamikdash, it needs to be. We need to search for it. We need to pine for it. There's an almost perverted type of ra. It says, the Gemara says in Bamitzia that Istra Belegina Kishkish Karya. When you have a box that's full, it makes no noise. When you have a few coins, what should make the noise is the emptiness. I have an empty box that's begging to be filled. Instead, the three coins there make all the noise. Not only doesn't the box cry out with its emptiness, begging to be filled, it sort of lulls itself to sleep with the three coins jingling over there. So if we're to ask ourselves, what is the yesod of Avodas Hashem? The answer would be to perceive the need for Avodas Hashem in a person's nefesh. If a person feels he doesn't have the answers, then he can get an answer. If a person feels he doesn't have meaning, then he can get meaning. It's only the quest for it that leads to it. The Ramban says, and the Torah brings it from the Ramban, and really the Taisus because Miram is in it, that when we speak about Shofar, it says there's Shofar and there's Keren. So the Ramban explains, any animal whose horns are solid through and through is not even a candidate for being a Shofar. That's not a Shofar. A Shofar is something that has its horn is bone on the outside, and the inside is sort of a marrow that's soft and removable. The zachrusay. A parah has that type of horn, and yet the pasuk called it keren, and since the pasuk called it keren, it's not kasher as a shayfa. The word keren in Lashon Kodesh refers to the essence, the core, the pride of something. So the Gemara refers to keren karna as something which is the principle as opposed to the interest, kalya karna, le kalya karna. So keren is the thing itself. And you know, when you speak about the pride of something, when you speak about the Haram Karen Mishichecha, Karen David Avdecha, Karen is Matzmir Karen Yeshua. Karen is the high point of the animal, the strong point of the animal, the sort of the strikingly visible part of the animal. So Karen refers to the thing itself. So there are some that feel 100% full. That's not a shayfa. Even if you drill a hole in it, it's an artificial hole, and it's not it. But there are animals that have bone that's filled with marrow. In other words, the filling is nothing. It just sort of keeping the place. And yes, as long as it's full with stuff, it's not. As long as it's full with stuff, it's not accepting anything. But as soon as you shake it out, it's hollow. In other words, the atzmius of it, so to speak, is a vacuum. And that's why Schaefer that's the mitzvah of Schaefer is that on the side of Adam, we don't start with milus and so on. We don't start with anything. We start with the void. That it says that the first thing, it says that there was no rain till Adam came, because he was makif for the need for the rain. It's only when Adam grasped or was conscious of the chisern of the world that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Geshem. The first thing we needed to understand was the world is missing Geshem, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Geshem. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not rain on a world that's not missing Geshem. Adam was makir that of the chisaron without gshamim, and that's when gshamim came. So, if we ask ourselves, the yisoid of an oved Hashem is the racking of one's nefesh by trying to understand the meaning of the world, the quest for how could a world that's when a world is it was created. By toiv, how come there's so much bad, evil, and so on? The answer of v'azukulam agudachas v'yomekol polish of alta and all of that or v'chein, all of those v'cheins are meaningful to the person who's wrecked by this question of why is the world not a good place. The ruchnius is only meaningful for the person that says skin, bone, and fat. What else is there? There has to be something else to me. He's created, he's discovered the vast emptiness in himself. When a person discovers the vast emptiness in himself, and that emptiness, when a person discovers the kloya, the lack of anything, then the kulsa begins. Then the person begins to be mishtekek. The person craves filling that up. Vacuums are, nature abhors a vacuum. It tries to fill itself up. And yes, we can fill it with garbage, but if we don't have the vacuum, nothing's gonna become full. And something full, nothing go into. In Kia Shefer, we it's the emptiness of the Shefer that speaks. Normally, words are the things we know. The Kalois has a sound also. And that's the sound of Shofar. It's the sound of the emptiness proclaiming, fill me. And when a person when a person does that, it's the Chaim Shal. In order the Sifri Chaim, Sifri Mesim are meaningful to the person that's Chaim Shal Mimcha. And a person that stolz zu to that Hishtoikikus that only emptiness has, that hollowness has, that becomes a Shaila. And that Chaim Shal, it's possible to Zeicha that Kadosh Baruch Hu should be in a satellite.